This morning, I want to share with you from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And I want to start, this is not on the back of your bulletin, I want to start with verse 1. It's on now. Is that what you're looking for? I don't know if it'll connect and everything, but you can try. Let me read this to you. Paul is writing in this whole first half of chapter 3. The title says Rules for Holy Living. And he's trying to capture for us a sense of perspective. And here's what he says in verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds. So first set your hearts on things above. And then he says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And then in verse 3, he gives us this powerful truth that he's trying to get across to us and that carries through the whole rest of this chapter. And he says this, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Here's what he means by this. He means that when you decide to follow Jesus, you lay down your own right to rule your life, and you give that right to God. And when you do that, you recognize that in running your life, you haven't done it the way that God would. And there is a death that happens when you turn over the reins to God because you are no longer in control. And you, when you hand your life over to God, the scripture says your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Do you realize that that means that you can't be hurt? No one can take your life from you. Except that Christ has control over that sick circumstance and situation. It says that our life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, there's two parts to this. There's this earthly life that we live, and then there's the heavenly life that we're going to have. And he's talking about both things, because he goes on to say to us, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What he's trying to get us to understand is this, and this sets the stage for the whole rest of the chapter. Christ, what he did on the cross was to literally provide us with the opportunity for eternal life. And when we surrender to him, our life, presently and in the future, is held in the hands of Christ. You know, Paul said, whether I live or I die, it doesn't matter. I'm in Jesus. And what he's trying to get across to us in this passage is the sense of what Christ has done for us. I don't know if y'all had the same understanding when you were younger, but when I was little, life seemed really long. And old people seemed really old. You know, was there vacation Bible school when you were little? It's impossible. They didn't have VBS that long ago, you know? Now, the older you get, old people don't seem old, do they? Even when you're one of them, they don't seem old. And you realize the longer you live, how short life is, don't you? And how fast it goes by. And our time here is short compared to eternity. And Paul's trying to tell us that if you got this sense that your life is held in the palm of God's hand, if you got that sense, that would change the way that you feel and think about everything. If you had that sense. So he follows that up by saying things like, put aside all this stuff because you don't need this stuff. And he says things like envy and lust and evil desires and greed and all that. You don't need any of that stuff. And then he says, here's what you need to put on instead. You need to put on kindness and humility and patience and gentleness and all this kind of stuff. And then he comes to verse 15. And this is where we're going to spend a little bit of time this morning. Because this is so powerful. In verse 15, he says this, let Now, this can be read as either a command or an opportunity. And it may be both. But he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, isn't it interesting that God may very well be offering you the opportunity to have the peace of Christ rule in your hearts? You just have to let him. Yesterday, I went out hunting in the morning, and I came back, and I did some work around the house, and then my wife came to me about 4 o'clock and said, did you want to go hunting this evening? I was on a ladder. I was down that ladder in just a second. I was cleaning gutters. I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. And so I don't know why I said this, because, I mean, I like to include my family and stuff, and the kids talk about hunting all the time, because I talk about it, and I said, well, do y'all want to come? And they're like, yes! So, Kelly puts together dinner and throws it in the cooler, and this was not a good idea, by the way. This is not a good idea. So anyway, we're putting stuff in the back of the truck. We're going to go over to somebody's house, and I'm going to hunt there. And because somebody's building just up the hill from us, and they scared all the deer away. And so we're getting everything ready. And the kids are excited. Micah's decided he's going to feed the deer grapes. That caused a problem later on because I'm standing out in the woods, and he's fussing at my wife because she will not let him get out of the truck and run up in the middle of the field up into the woods to let him feed the deer. But anyway, I put my bow in the back of the truck. It's in a soft bag. And Kelly comes to me and says, Andrew, there may be a problem. Abby was in the back of the truck climbing all over your bow. Now, I didn't pay what it's worth for my bow because it was on sale and there were other things going on. But my bow is worth like $500. So it was not inexpensive. And so in that moment, as I walked up to the back of the truck, there was a small window of opportunity in which I had the option of allowing the peace of Christ to rule in my heart, and I ran right through that. I just kept on driving. And I opened up the bag to my bow, and I'm looking at it, and all the kids are like, did she break it? Did she break it? And I'm like, I can't tell you. Leave me alone, you know? And I'm trying to, like, do it. And poor Abby, you know, she's feeling terrible about it in the backseat because she didn't know that that's what it was and all this stuff. And I didn't really yell at her. I was like, I don't know. You know, I'm trying to figure it out. But she knew that it bothered me. And so there was a moment of clarity that came to me afterwards after I realized my boat was okay, where God was just like, he'd been tugging on my shoulder the whole time. He kind of pulled on me and said, you know, you got a little girl in the back seat who's not doing too well. So I put down everything and I went over and I picked her up and I said to her, you know, Abs, Dad forgot that for just a second that there's nothing more important in the world to me than you. And even if you had broken my bow so that it could never be fixed, it would be okay. It would be okay. And I love you and I'm very sorry that it even bothered me that this happened. And in that moment, I was reminded of the importance of this verse, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Because when the peace of Christ doesn't rule in our heart, there's oftentimes collateral damage. And the collateral damage is other people. And Paul says to us, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. You are called to be a people of peace. This is what I asked you to be, a people of peace. And then he says, and be thankful. And these two thoughts, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful, are directly tied to verses 1-3 that we just read. Because here's what Paul's saying. He's saying the way in which you get yourself to a place where the peace of Christ is not ruling in your hearts is when you begin to see stuff out of perspective and out of correct proportion. See, God says the most important things in your life are taken care of. When you have become a follower of Jesus Christ, God has made it well with your soul. And your eternity, which is the majority of your life, is taken care of in Him. And He says, what happens to us is that God gives us all these blessings, and then some trouble or some problems or something comes along, and what is it that we end up focusing on? The 1%. I had my car in the shop 4 times in the past month. And I was like, this is such a drag. And then God reminded me. He said, Andrew, what if you were born 300 years ago in Berkeley Springs? How different would your life be then? How different would your life be if you were born 1,000 years ago anywhere in this world? How different would your life be if you were born in Haiti? I mean, we have so much given to us just because we were born now in this place at this time. And the environment around us is constantly encouraging us to be discontent with what we have. It's constantly encouraging us to compare everything that we have with what somebody else has. Our marriage, our house, our family, the stuff that we own. We're constantly told that what we have is not enough. And Paul says to us, he encourages us and invites us and maybe even commands us to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts and to be thankful. Why? Because he said, would you just stop for a moment and think of all that God has given to you? And it's when you stop focusing on that and start focusing on the fact that the dryer's not working or something else is broken or the fact that you've got this person that's hard to work with or whatever it is. Suddenly the peace of Christ begins to disappear. Have you noticed this happening? And he's saying, in light of how I see things, God, the slice of life that you're looking at, you do not see clearly in proportion with everything that I see and everything that I've given you. And he said, if you were to see it clearly, then you would have the opportunity to have peace and have a grateful heart. And then he says to us, and let me go a little further, Paul says, let the message of Christ, that he is our Savior, that he has come to bring us good things, that he has prepared a place for us, that he is going to provide for us, that he is going to continue to work in us until it's done, that he will not let anything, give us anything beyond what we can handle. All of those things, let the message of Christ dwell among us richly. And let us remind each other of that message with wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. I have some people that come to the first worship service who aren't necessarily fans of praise music. They like getting up early and coming to church, so they come. But you can kind of tell that they're not really big fans of praise music, in part because in praise music, you sing a lot of the same thing over and over and over again, and a lot of people don't understand that. They're just like, give me a hymn, I know how long it lasts. When I'm in verse 2, I'm halfway done. There's 4 verses. I know it goes somewhere. I don't go back to verse 1 again. It goes somewhere. You know, but I said to them, look, it doesn't make sense because you're putting it in a different context. See, maybe y'all have watched Young Love before. Do you remember what Young Love looks like? I mean, when you're young and in love. You know? You sit in a restaurant near young and in love, and you can tell. They just stare at each other. They're rubbing their finger on their glasses, and they look up. I love you. I love you too. The salad comes. They don't even notice. I love you. I love you too. That's the whole conversation. There isn't anything else. I went to the dentist today. I love you. I love you too. I said that in a first worship service, and I said, I wonder if it'll be that way in 60 years. I'm not going to tell you who said it. You can ask around. They'll tell you. But somebody said, yes, it is. And I was like, way to go, man. That's awesome. Young love is overcome by the gratitude and the spirit of that relationship. It's nearly overwhelmed by it. It isn't used to it yet, to the goodness of sharing your life with somebody and to all that that brings. I was driving and because of that, you can express the same thing over and over and over again, and you don't get tired of hearing it or saying it. Now, for some of us, it gets to a point where you're just like, yeah, I love you too. You know, you've been together long enough and you start to, and that's not good, is it? It's not good. But there's something about that kind of place from the heart that does that. And I was in my truck the other day with my family, and we still have a Vacation Bible School CD from this year, which is playing in our truck. I'm about to accidentally break it. It used to be that you'd have tapes and they would accidentally, you know, spool out or something. I love listening to my kids sing it, though. And they're in the back seat, and I don't remember what song it was, but they were singing with, especially Abby and Micah, were singing with all their hearts to this song. I mean, just singing it out. And Kelly leaned over and she said to me, isn't that just sweet listening to them sing in the back seat? And I thought to myself, I wonder how it blessed God to hear this 4-year-old and 6-year-old just singing at the top of their lungs in the backseat something to him. And I thought, you know, you and I, as we grow older, we become more conscious of how we sound and how we look and whether we want people to hear us sing. They didn't have that at all. They were just kind of telling God through their songs that they loved him. And that's kind of what Paul's saying here. He's saying, when you sing, sing it like young love to God. The angels sing holy, holy, holy over and over and over again. And it's because when they've seen God's holiness, they're just in awe. There's nothing else they can say. You know, you're just amazing, God. You are amazing. You're just amazing. Over and over and over again. And the Psalms are like that. And that's what he's saying to us. When you get into Psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, sing to God with gratitude, because you are able to step back a step and look at your life and see what God has done for you. No matter how hard your life is or what it looks like right now, you have the ability to step back and see that you are only going to live so long, and that you will have all eternity with Jesus Christ and all the things that he's given to you this day. And he says, in light of all of that, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Be thankful. Sing with gratitude to God. And then he says this, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it for Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through him. And what Paul's saying is, never forget that what you do is about God and for God, and God gets the credit. And be thankful that he gave you the opportunity to be there and to do it. You know, I'm excited about meeting Jesus one day. I was talking to my staff about this recently. One of my staff, I was just one person. And I said to this person, I said, you know, there's a place inside of me that wants to make sure that I have something to give to Jesus when I get there. And I said, what do you give Jesus? What does Jesus need? All that you and I can really do is allow him to use us to glorify him and to bless him by doing what he asks us to do. But like the Shunammite woman, there is no way I can repay Jesus. There's no way, because when I stand up to be judged by God, all of the stuff that I've done in this life that has displeased God, Jesus is going to stand right in front of me. And he's going to say, no, I've already taken the blame for that. You just put that right here, Father. That's not Andrew's to carry. And the shame that I would feel having everybody know all that, and the guilt that I would feel, that's all on Jesus. And then I get to spend eternity in heaven. And it frustrates me that I lose perspective of that. It frustrates me when something small, when I allow it to upset me, and I no longer have the peace of Christ in my heart. It frustrates me when I become discontent and not thankful for what God has given to me. So this morning, as we close, I want to ask you, this week, the coming weeks, we're going to work at looking at what it means to cultivate a spirit of gratitude. And I pray that God would move within us to help us to get to that place. Let's pray together. God, I would really like to live my life, and I suspect the people in this room would too, in a way that I just have a 100% confidence that things are in your hands, that nothing will happen to me that I cannot bear in Jesus, and that you're there for me. Help us to learn to live, to let the word of Christ dwell in us, so that we can become people who are ruled by the peace of God. And help us to be people full of gratitude for all that you've given us. Help us to set our minds on things above so that we don't focus on all the stuff that we don't have, but to be not only content but grateful for all the stuff that you've given to us. And thank you for being such a generous God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.